Hi, this is Robert O'Reilly. My name is Gowron. Honor to you and your house. You're listening to Trek FM.
Theo Greyhawk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. I'm your co-host, Richard Marquez, and here with me is Amy Nelson.
Hello, guys.
And Lee Hutchinson.
Hello there.
How are you guys? How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm glad that we're all back together again. So yeah, I'm off the next week. I'm 30 this month, so I've got a few things spread over a few different weekends, essentially just getting bloated, as it were. So yeah, unfortunately, I will be too hungover and somewhere in another magical place next weekend. So yeah, I'm looking forward to podcasting with you guys before we have a special guest filling in for me next week.
Yes, just awesome. Filling in, we can't replace you.
Exactly. You can't replace the token Brit.
What? Yeah. Awesome. Well, happy birthday to you in advance, and I hope you come back blitz out of your mind.
Exactly.
Because I remember my 30th, and that was... that was a rough night.
I'm spreading it over. Like, this party is like... a week and a half before my birthday. So yeah, it'll be a few merry parties, I think, along the way.
My goodness, you sound like my girlfriend, because she took off a week before her 30th birthday, and wow, she had a good time.
A month long exactly. Birthday, it's the way it should be.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Going home to visit family, then a party, then dinners, and all these sorts of things. Yeah, I'm gonna feel the love and eat and drink and be merry.
Very good.
Showing the love for your will.
Well, yes, I know. It's good to share a birthday with the next generation.
Nice, I see what you did there. Uh-huh. Well, so talking about Lee's 30th birthday is not what we're going to be talking about today. So today we're going to be talking about technology within the next generation. More likely, we're probably going to talk about other shows as well. But I figured, why not let's talk about some of the... things that we have seen in Star Trek. I mean, because I'm a tech geek and I absolutely love everything anything that deals with Star Trek or any idea that came out of Star Trek and becomes a part of my real life is just awesome. I absolutely love it. And be like, look, I told you. Star Trek predicted it. And one of the biggest things is like one of the best things I could even imagine living without is the view screen. You can't, you got to have the views. You got to have a big giant screen. I don't know about you guys, but I've got a 60 inch monitor just right here in my recording office. So you know, whatever you want to call it, but I gotta have it. So I don't know about you guys. Could you guys live without a view screen?
I don't think this podcast would be around if it wasn't for a view screen. Essentially, I get to stare into Amy and Richard's beautiful eyes each and every Sunday night. So yeah, the importance of communication, you know, over long distances. It's crazy to think how far we've come since 1987 in terms of the ease and the affordability of that kind of communication. And, you know, Trek FM wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for that.
Agreed. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing a podcast. And it's so funny because they're like, oh, are they all in the same room with you? And I'm like, no, I said one's in Scotland and one's in Denver. So yeah, this technology is great. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone keeps talking to me about like, oh, well, you know, you're like, oh, what about Star Wars? And it's like, but nothing in Star Wars is real, really. I mean, that's what I really love about it, but you know, or what I love about Star Trek a lot, but that's okay. But speaking in, you know, I mean, you gotta, I mean, speaking of like communications, I mean, like let's move on to cell phones. So obviously we already know that comm badge and communicators, you know, it's just great. But on top of that, it's integrated with a universal translator. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I can't live without my phone.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's my, in a sense, PDA, telephone, friggin', it's even my day plan, everything.
Maps,
universal translator. Schooled.
Yeah. And so, it combines with the view screen as well, like FaceTime. And yeah, I get to talk to my nieces who live in a different state and get to see them much more frequently because of it. So I love the phone as well.
I have to use a mobile phone for kind of my work, and I get all my emails and everything through that. So yeah, unfortunately I can't, when someone's looking to get in contact with me about arranging things or whatever, I wish I could always just flip it open like it's a Star Trek comm badge or whatever like that. So it's a bit frustrating, but yeah, I suppose they can, you know, take off their comm badges at the end of the day. So yeah, I'm the same, just get rid of the phone.
You know, you could always get one of those Motorola razors. They actually open up and flip open like the original series.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I don't know if you guys seen it on ThinkGeek. They actually have the Bluetooth one where it's
the
basically
comm badge.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I would love to do that, but I'd probably lose that thing in a day.
Yeah, I'd lose it and I'd have no one to play with it with. I'd just be like sitting there like, "Hi there, is anyone out there?" And just like static going around Edinburgh.
You're like, who's this lunatic out there? I mean, it's like those people with the earpieces in their ear and they say something all of a sudden. We're like, are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Well, I just watched Pen Pals. Is anyone out there?
Oh, did you? Was that your first time or just in a while?
My first time. What are you talking about? I've seen it many times.
It's season two. She's probably watched it more than any other episode.
Well, obviously everyone will know by now, but we've done our season two.
Unsung episodes.
Thank you. Unsung episodes.
Yeah.
What else is out there? Oh, yes. The transporter. There ain't no way we can talk about the transporter. I mean, there's no way we cannot talk about the transporter. Absolutely.
I know. It's such a time saver. I mean, even if it's just, you know, interplanetary, you know, just beaming. Oh, man, travel would be so much better.
It would be environmentally friendly as well.
Exactly.
I think that's something that doesn't ever really get brought up, is that the transporter is probably the most eco-green friendly. You know, you don't have fuel to transport people all around the world. You don't have to have jetliners burning fuel into the atmosphere, cars, petrols, you know, ambulances, all these sorts of things that it's... The transporter could essentially save the ozone and could be an important thing in battling climate change. So, yeah, let's get going with that. Chop, chop. Nothing to do with me wanting to get to, like, Star Trek Las Vegas, like, quickly, cheap and free. Oh. Nothing to do with that. It's all about climate change, 100% climate
change. Everybody would be there every year. Yeah. I mean, like, and I'm glad you said that, because, well, that's one thing I didn't understand about the transporter when you're talking about, like, ambulances. So why not just repair whoever's, you know, sick or ill or something like that? I mean, yeah, they can detect it, but why replicate it at the same exact time on the other side when you can actually repair that person and, you know, save their life or something like that? That's what I didn't, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess for budget, obviously, that's how they get on planets and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, it just makes more sense to me for them to repair themselves. But would you come? Would you come back as the same person if you believe in souls? Technically, you're killed and then recreated on the other end.
Yeah, it's essentially like a photocopier, like fax machine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could be an environmentalist on this side, but a pollutionist. on the other side.
Yes, well, that's maybe more the mirror universe, that somewhere in the mirror universe there's an Earl Grey right now where Amy's got a goatee and I'm wearing like a really flamboyant shirt and I'm like talking about like we should destroy the transporter. It is, you know, it's putting businesses out, you know, it's putting these Federation airliners and Federation cars out of business, you know, make the Federation greater again or whatever, like that somewhere out there, you know, infinite diversity and infinite combinations. So yes, there's a sexy evil version of me out there somewhere podcasting.
Well, and you know, we go to our capitalism podcast episode where we talked about, you know, yeah, who needs capitalism, you know, so the transporter wouldn't hurt it because there's no money in the future.
Sure there is. You gotta provide the energy, you gotta do all that kind of stuff, you know, the politics of, you know, growing goatees when you come out of it. I don't know. I think you definitely named the episode right there.
Yeah, but like I think the thing with the like the transporter is like it always has baffled me. Like essentially, like it's like a copy of a person and stuff, that it's breaking something down and like rematerializing it somewhere else. That kind of blows my mind that it's, you know, it does it like that. Essentially, you know, are you the real person that you are? Or are you a copy of a copy of a copy that's in like through the transporter? And, you know, I think it's I'd love it, but God, it would be a kind of freaky prospect to go into one. Actually, I think I could relate to Barclay's woes.
Yeah, and that degradation, you know, yeah. And do you lose a part of you? That Metatrex did a fabulous episode on if just one little thing is different, then you're not the same. And so you're not really you. And so it sort of goes into the cyclical argument of, well, are you you? Well, yeah, it's still the same you, but something's a little off. So I think that definitely falls into transporter technology.
Forget Q who, it's you who.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, it would, if you need manpower shortage, you could just copy the same person and be like, there you go. Cloning done cheap.
Yeah, Riker, Thomas, who need, you know.
And holodecks as well. And I suppose you like that you can have all these holodeck characters that, you know, put them on kind of like they did with the Doctor and Voyager, you know, just get them to be the manpower.
I wonder if they had infinite strength. Probably not. You know, to do all that dilithium mining and all that kind of stuff.
You do wonder if holograms would have a union, though. Would they?
You're getting into Measure of a Man, you know. Are we just going to create a bunch of holograms and make them do the dirty work?
Well, yeah, isn't that essentially what's happening now when it comes to like robotics and everything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately what's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the thing, isn't it? That, you know, you look at kind of so many like the kind of traditional industries of kind of Britain and America, the car industry, for example, all these jobs that have kind of gone and they've been replaced by robots. Like the robots in the car manufacturers aren't exactly going to be given rights, as it were. They're just programmed machines. You know, I'm not saying that would be the same would maybe apply to data and or a holographic character, which could be sentient, feel, you know, a robot. A robot doesn't have, well, a piece of technology doesn't essentially have rights.
Like, just don't give it an emotion chip or anything like that.
Yeah, just don't give the thing that's making your car an emotion chip. And that's how Skynet starts. And I don't want that to happen in the Henry Ford factory.
I don't know. We're sort of already doing it, though. I mean, when you look at your phone and you say Siri, I mean, she's got a
no,
name.
No, don't do that. No, she just went off. Damn it. Yeah, no, I agree.
The Borg have entered sector 001. Beep, beep.
No, yeah, definitely. The start of Skynet or anything like that. What was it? I actually read an article not too long ago where there was a feature on, I think it was a Samsung phone or no, Samsung TV, smart TVs, where it's basically if you don't turn off a certain privacy or if you don't check box a privacy setting or something like that, it will literally record everything that you do, or I'm sorry, not do, but what you say within its limits, obviously. Of where you're at, and then it will save it on their cloud drives or whatever. And yeah, I mean, obviously, privacy is huge in the United States. I don't know about you guys in Great Britain. I would assume it's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because that's one of the biggest problems with a lot of hands-free, phones and whatnot. And I actually wonder if they even thought about doing that as an episode where privacy. I mean, I get it. It's a utopian. Thank you. It's a utopian society, but like, does the right of privacy translate the same way then as it does now, or have we lost it completely?
I think privacy is multiple things, really. I mean, take for example, you're essentially a crew on a tight starship. I think you forego a lot of privacy when you enlist in Starfleet. But I think privacy is always something important. But when you're living on a ship that's very self-aware, how conscious, you walk into a room and probably Captain Picard's heating system modulates to be correct, or you walk into a room and it can detect your mood and it responds by certain ambient lighting or something like that. I mean, it's where you draw the line of what you want the computer to do and know and respond to you, and what's too far is, lighting and mood responses is one thing, but, keeping information perhaps different.
Yeah. I guess that's a 24th century problem.
Exactly. We don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. They'll worry about it back. And then we'll be long gone before then.
Speak for yourself. I intend to live forever.
Downloaded into a computer somewhere.
Oh, no. I just intend to live forever. I'm the same as Riker. That's me.
A Lee in the 24th century.
A bohemian then and a bohemian now.
So, okay, so obviously we talked about transporters. Let's talk about tricorders.
I love tricorders. Come on now. And tricorders in all the fields, like in the science and in the medical. I mean, to scan things and to gain information on the inside and the outside, all the environmental issues going around. I love the tricorders. I think it's a great, great idea. And we need to definitely get that.
But can you play Angry Birds on them, though?
Yeah, that would be great. Or like one of those TI-83 games. You could play Drug Dealer or something like that on it. Exactly. I don't know if you guys played that I don't know if you have seen it, Amy, on any of your students' calculators.
No, the big thing, well, when I went to high school, the TI-85, they had Tetris on the TI-85 calculator, and that was awesome. That was huge. That's why everyone had a calculator. They were just playing Tetris on it. But
I remember the first time going into high school, they were like, you're going to integrated math. And no, actually, I didn't go into integrated math. I went into geometry. I'm sorry. when I went into geometry, they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to need a TI-83. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And, I didn't even know what was that. And I was too stupid. I guess I wasn't too sociable back in middle school, but when I finally got one, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And everyone told me about these games. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. My own personal, I guess, Game Boy in school. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a meteorologist, scientist, or even a geologist, or any really field of science is wet dream is to have this tricorder.
Yeah, to scan things. I definitely want that. I have one in my classroom, just, a prop thing. And my kids start acting up. I take out my tricorder and I scan them and I say, looks like you're going to fail today. And it's funny. They laugh at me.
That's awesome.
Because it makes the little beeping sounds, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm scanning you to see if you're using your brain today.
That's awesome. I sign me up. I want to be in your class too. You don't phaser piss them, do you?
No. Oh, you know, someone just at school just gave me this week one of the phasers from Into Darkness, the one that turns around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the sound one or is it just
it's
mechanical?
Got all the sounds and like the recharging and the...
Some students trying to suck up to you, Amy. They've clearly not done any of the revision.
That's right.
Yeah, because those things are expensive. Because I know, because I've always wanted to get the mechanics version of it. It's like a I don't know what the one you have, but like the one I want is like it's $500 or something. It has all the sounds and everything, and even the pointer at the end, or where the whatever bolt of lighting, whatever you want to call it, phaser, it lights up and everything. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Well, and I think that's another technology that you can have settings on your guns, you know, on your phasers. So I like that. It's like, okay, I'm just going to stun you. Oh, you're still coming at me. All right, we're going up to disintegrate.
What do you mean? We already have it.
We do? With guns?
Yeah, tasers and bullets.
But not in the same gun.
That's true.
Well, I guess maybe.
Oh, I'm sure there's something out there that some gun manufacturer is doing a lethal and non-lethal version of a gun, just like Star Trek, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, rubber bullets hurt like hell. Not that I know. So
with the science tricorder, I like that. But one of the really cool things, like Dr. Crusher uses all the time, like if someone gets a little scratch, or, you know, she takes out her epidermal fixer thingy and it just zzzzed, and then it's all gone and healed. And that's, we definitely need to get that, because that would
wait,
save.
What was that again? What was that sound effect again?
Funny.
I love it. No, I love it.
But I mean, it fixes everything. And, you know, oh, what was that episode? I'm in my rewatch in Pulaski, and they're having some damage. I'm so sorry, I can't remember. And it's like, well, make a splint. Well, what is that? It's medicine. That's old time medicine. Well, that's what we're doing, you know. So
I remember that episode of what you're talking about. Oh, FYI, there's a Lieutenant Marquez also in that season too. So
that's
I'll
right.
have to find the episode. I'll have to find the episode and where he's at. But it's like there's a Lieutenant Marquez in there. He's a medical officer.
At least you get an exciting officer. I get someone that just annoyed the crew of the Enterprise just with babbling all the time.
There's a crewman, Hutchinson.
Yeah, on Starship Mine.
Yeah, Hutch.
That's right.
Hutch, yeah, which was my nickname at high school.
Oh, how fun.
I didn't even realize that until you said that.
There you go.
Well, at least you're a commander.
Exactly, yes. And I think I died as well. So, yeah. Oh, that was fun.
Well, episode written by Morgan Kendall.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, funny enough. Oh, my goodness. All right. So tricorders are a very happy or very useful tool, medical and also science. Tablet computers. Do you guys have one?
I do.
Like your iPod?
iPad.
iPad. Oh, yeah. I do have an iPad. Yes.
Yeah. I absolutely. My daughter loves mine. I never see it. Yeah.
It's always got games on it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's on this thing called Red Block or whatever it's called. It's basically a ripoff version of Minecraft. But yeah, I just don't like it. You can play with other people, and I'm like, no. We're not gonna do that.
Yeah, she's still a little too young.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And you know, and I bought it, you know, I mainly bought it to read comics on, and I haven't read a comic since because yeah, I'm just too busy.
I know, I just couldn't get into the swing of reading them on my iPad. I just prefer being able to pick them up and read them, much like the Star Trek graphic novel collection out now. I prefer to read that, like pick up the book, you know, flip through
and
the pages.
And the US too. I actually just placed an order for it.
Yeah, I'm five issues deep, so yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
Now, are they, so they're given, they gave you the initial copy and then you get it like an or a volume every month? Is that how it works?
No, my first delivery was 3 issues and then it's two a month every month. So yeah, the first 3 I think was like Countdown. Hang on.
Oh, here we go. We're gonna see it in a second. And mind you, it also has a really good picture on the end of the books as well. It's like a picture, or you know, each volume is a piece of the puzzle in a sense. So yeah.
Yeah, you can really set it. Cool. So the first 3 that came were Countdown.
Yep, I got that one.
but they're really brilliant. Sit on the Edge of Forever.
Nope,
it's amazing. It's like the original script. Hive, which is the TNG Borg one, which is really cool.
Oh, so it doesn't follow one series until the end, and then it goes to another.
It's just a scattergun. Then it's I haven't read them these ones yet. TNG, The Space in Between, all about what happens on the Enterprise crew between like missions, all through the 7 seasons and stuff, and then Spock Reflections. So yeah, that's what's come so far.
There you go, okay. Amy, you should buy those.
Well, now that you're showing me those pictures, I think some student gave me 3 little novel thingies. I don't...
Man, I want to be in your classroom.
You got such a bunch of suck-ups. It's unreal. My students never gave me it. I was lucky to get fudge at Christmas from my students.
Well, how do you think I have so many A's? No, I'm kidding.
The real secrets behind Amy Nielsen's class.
Well, now I'm going to have to go in and take a look at those little books that I got.
Yeah, you can look at video previews of them on YouTube. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, they look really cool. I'm actually excited. There's like 80 of them or something like that. Yeah, I'm really excited to read those, start reading those as soon as I get here. I just did it like 2 days ago, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I think there was a post on the Babel conference when someone talking about it. Yeah,
that was precisely that was precisely the reason what sparked me to do it, because I was like, saw it, yep, want it, love it, done.
Oh, very good.
Pay. Even though it's gonna be like $24 a month, but that's okay. I can deal with that, no problem. So
can we talk about one of my favorites? And sure. That is the holodeck.
Okay, I wasn't gonna go into that, but okay,
you
go ahead.
Weren't?
Go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I had a couple others, but yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll get there, I'm sure. So I think the holodeck definitely is in our near future. We're starting to already get the holograms, if that's what you're called. So I went to the Michael Jackson Cirque show here in Las Vegas, and they have a Michael Jackson hologram, and it's amazing. It looks just like him, and there's people that are walking behind it, and you can't see through them. I mean, it's almost like the holodeck. It is amazing. So I think the technology is really just right on the cusp, and we're going to be seeing stuff like that soon. So I would, and the Michael Jackson at Las Vegas, you should go see if you have a chance, but you will see the hologram, and it's amazing. So well done. So well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that's wow.
I know, because I'm like, oh, well, yeah, it's just, you know, the lights and stuff. But you got people walking behind him and you can't see. It's like he's almost solid. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's so cool. I did not know that existed.
Yeah. I was blown away.
Was that recent? Because, I mean, I don't remember hearing anything about that the last time I was in Vegas.
Because wasn't there a Prince hologram for a while?
Was there?
Yeah. Well, knowing Prince, there definitely was probably a Prince hologram.
Well, now that he's no longer living, yeah, I wouldn't doubt if there is one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I heard the Prince hologram was working in dilithium mines.
I can see it now. Prince mining away and everything and singing at the same time.
The first purple Starfleet jumpsuit.
There you go.
They could sing in harmony. Hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, obviously, we're seeing. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but have you ever heard of Bridge Crew? It's the new...
Yeah, the game. Yeah,
yeah. The it's a. I'm assuming by your look, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay,
I do not know. But continue.
No, but basically, what it is that it's a PlayStation game, and it's for the virtual reality headset that's out for PlayStation right now. And in a sense, I think it's got 40 or 50 hours worth of gameplay on it. It basically, you're a crew member of whatever. I think I want to say that they have the Kelvin timeline one, the next generation, as well as the TO. The reason why it was supposed to come out later this month, but they got pushed back because they wanted to do the TOS version of it. So it's not due until May. And then several other, there's like a new crew and everything and whatnot. And it's actually, it looks really cool because they had LeVar Burton, they had Jerry Ryan on there, and two other people, I can't remember who it was. And basically they were playing the game as if, you know, they're the, you know, obviously LeVar Burton was the engineer,
right?
Jerry Ryan was the pilot, I think, and I can't remember who the other two were, but like, yeah, it's just basically you get commands from your captain and then you work. I mean, obviously it's going to be more geared towards Star Trek fans than anyone else.
Right.
But like, yeah, it looks phenomenal. I can't wait.
I think it'll be long overdue getting a decent Star Trek video game. I feel like I've been waiting for forever for one. I think of all the frustrating releases kind of on the console market, I think Star Trek Online is meant to be pretty good, but I haven't had the chance to play it. So yeah, it would be good to finally get a proper Star Trek game. I always remember the PlayStation 2 one. What was it, like Shattered Mirror? Was like, it's the Star Trek game set in the Mirror Universe where you're piloting like a fighter pilot ship, and it's like, oh my God, it's frustrating.
Yeah, Star Trek Online is actually not too bad. They just released it on PlayStation as well as Xbox, and it's gotten quite a bit of traffic since then, because everyone that I know that's on my friends list, freaking, they're on it all the time. Well,
do you get on the PlayStation 3?
I don't know about the PlayStation 3.
I'll look into that.
But definitely the PlayStation 4, it's free. You don't have to buy anything. So, yeah, if you really want to go on to, go on to Star Trek Online, it's free to play on the Xbox or on the Xbox One and also the PlayStation 4. So I have here iTop computers. So basically Google Glasses.
They are popping up definitely in the education world. And we had some people come in and they were, I guess, marketing for it. And so in one of my math classes, I was like, well, let's go. And they had more for history and stuff, but we went to Greece. And so we were looking around and seeing the programs, and yeah, you just stick them in and then you get to see the sites, obviously the 360, and the kids really enjoyed it. And we were talking about the math that's related there from Greece and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
So is it like transparent enough to where you actually see the buildings as they were, or is it like an actual, it blocks it off and you that's all you see? Like, you know what I mean? Like a VR sort of thing?
Yeah, it's this cardboard box that you put over your eyes with the phone or whatever inside it. And then you can look around and it follows your movement and you can see the historical markers and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love watching those VR, the videos where people are trying VR for the first time. And of course, the reactions they get.
Yeah.
They're great.
They always, when the guy was in, you know, instructing us, like, okay, so make sure you're sitting down. Don't be walking because you've got desks and chairs everywhere. But yeah, the kids really enjoyed it.
Well, that's cool. I had no idea that there was something like that. Well, I mean, I knew there was something like that. Obviously, the Oculus and the Samsung VR whatever it's called, experience is something that you could always do. But like, yeah, that's really cool.
It's really coming into education right now. So.
Do you do that in the classroom, or was that just that one time in Greece?
No, that was in the classroom. And like I said, we had a classroom set, and so everyone got to put it on. And so then I was guiding them, like, as I'm like, okay, so everyone turn and look at this. And then we talked about Euclid and stuff like that. I'm, you know, I tailored it to be math, but it was the historical landmarks and stuff like that.
Greece is indeed the word then.
Yes.
That's cool. I actually thought you took an actual trip to Greece, and that's why I was saying transparent. Like if you were looking at it through a transparent glasses or something like that, that it was an outline. But I mean, okay, that's cool. That's cool. Regardless, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, we teleported ourselves there. Ha ha.
And look, you're still the same person without a goatee. Awesome.
Yay.
That's great. So let's see what else we got here. Video calls. I mean, really we didn't. Well, we, of course, we always see the, you know, we're receiving a message from whoever and whatnot. And of course, we go to the view screen. But I mean, I liked it how they did it in the Kelvin timeline, where you still see parts of the screen in the background, like whatever you see. It's an actual view screen. You see outside. And on top of that, you see whatever the stats and vitals of the ship. And then, of course, in the middle, you see like a block where, you know, whoever you're talking to, without taking focus of what's going on outside. So
I always wondered about the view screen on the Enterprise D. So when they say on screen, and they always get different perspectives. So like when they're viewing the Ferengi, you see this massive head and it fills up the entire view screen, you know, or sometimes you see, you know, just the captain, or sometimes you see the entire bridge. Well, what is being shown them? Because the view screen is so far in front. Do they get to see everything? They see, you know, Riker on the side, Worf in the background. Like, what's the focus that they transmit, you know?
There's been a few where you've kind of seen it. I think the one I always remember is, unfortunately, Star Trek Insurrection, where you see on Ruafo's ship, you see Picard on the view screen, and it's pretty much just kind of largely focused in on his head and his area. You don't really see any of the other command consoles or anything like that. You just see it kind of zoomed in on Picard. I think we've seen a few episodes here and there, I can't remember off the top of my head, where you've seen maybe the bridge a bit more broadly from, say, another ship's perspective. But I think it all just depends on how quickly they've zoomed in or pulled their fingers in on to zoom in, going, zoom in on Picard's bald head over there.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a good point, because as soon as you were talking about that, the first image that came up in my head was when Tuvok and Janeway were on the Borg cube, and they were hailing Voyager. And they in the screen that they show a copy. I mean, they see the ship on one side, and then the other side they see what's on the bridge or what they're seeing. And then it zooms in on Janeway, who's talking, or not Janeway, I think it was Chakotay, and it zooms in on him, and it's it focuses on him because he's talking. So
yeah,
I'm assuming
I bet
that's
that
what
makes
do.
Sense, because doesn't the Xbox with the FaceTime do that? And so like wherever you're moving, it sort of follows you and then zooms in who's talking.
I'm a privacy, doomsdayer.
Privacy nut.
There you go. Yeah, privacy nut. Where, yeah, I actually
That's
have
Richard
mine covered.
Marquez that talks about his life each and every week here on Earl Grey, the privacy nut. Jesus.
No, not like that. It's just in this day and age, you know, it's in this day and age of Facebook and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I don't post things that are really personal. I mean, it's Star Trek, baseball, or the military, and that's really it. You rarely see a picture of myself and my daughter. Not that I'm ashamed, but yeah. But yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the Xbox is in the PlayStation camera does the same thing as well. Remarkable tools for any kind of 3D mapping or anything like that, which there was a recent lawsuit in California that dealt with that, and I think he got away with it. But now there's a law and rule out there that says you cannot do that because he was using it for his job or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the exact details, but yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, that makes sense. That's going into my head canon now.
Yeah, the zooming in?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It really does. And then, you know, do they have like conference mute or something like that when he's like, when he leans over and talks to Deanna and be like,
yeah. I know, because I'm like, she's like, those Romulans are lying. I'm like, shh, they can hear you or, you right? know. It-
You're like, I hear you guys are a-holes, yeah. But we're like, oh, shoot. I should have said mute.
Yeah.
Just like the new, Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that just came out. Oh, my other, I winked with the wrong eye. All right. And, you know, something that's new, actually almost new, from what I'm hearing, they're making great strides on it. Tractor beams. Tractor beams are coming, are soon
AKA
to be.
My flirting abilities.
There you go. But like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard recently that tractor beams are, well, it's not in a sense of tractor beam, I guess, but I don't know the exact physics or science on it. Maybe someone on the Babel conference can explain it to us. But I've been reading quite a bit about tractor beams becoming possibly a part of our future. I think the only thing they can do right now is they could push things away, but not pull things yet. So I don't know exactly where they're at in that technology, but hopefully soon. I mean, shoot, they just created EM drive not too long ago. So hopefully we can travel among the stars a lot faster.
So. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I didn't have tractor beams on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
What about impulse drives?
AKA no? being stuck on the freeway in Las Vegas, eh?
Yeah, you guys got a lot of highways there.
Yeah.
What's the fastest route there? Oh, yeah, let's just take the highway because it takes longer. But it is faster because we're going 75 miles an hour. But you could charge me more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Logic. Yeah, I love it. All right. And we, you know, I also have on here personal computers, but obviously we discussed personal computers because, you know, obviously with our cell phones, basically you're carrying a mini computer in your pocket. Exactly. In a sense. I mean, and you don't even have to have the memory because you can download it from the cloud if you really want to, if that's an option that you have. So, all right. So let's move on to phasers. Gotta love phasers. I mean, not. I mean, obviously, we won't see that for a while. A personal phaser in your hand, but yeah, because I think the Navy, the U.S. Navy, is right now testing phasers, or not phasers. They're testing lasers.
Freaking laser.
Which sharks with freaking lasers on her head. But yeah, like the Navy has actually just recently published that they've been starting to retrofit some of their ships with lasers so they can knock out things. I'm assuming they got nuclear energy. I mean, I'm assuming that they got enough to power them as well. So, I mean, to take a lot of energy to destroy whatever they're trying to destroy. So, yeah. What do you think about phasers there, Amy?
Yeah, I'm trying to logistically think about, like, just you've got this ray, this beam, and it's going to cause damage because right now it's just light. So trying to make the light beam be damaging is interesting.
Yeah, I don't really see the future with phasers as like a long stream of energy. I see it like we saw in Into Darkness and Star Trek 09 and as well as Beyond, that, you know, it's going to be like a bullet, basically, like a one big energy blob. And that's what's going to get you. Because I think that's impractical. I don't know. That's just me. But hey, that'll be eco-friendly. You won't have to worry about lead and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if like phasers and such like are in like the Star Trek Bill of Rights. I wonder where that kind of ranks.
Which amendment that is.
Exactly. Probably the 47th one, isn't it? Is it 47 that pops up in Star Trek all the time?
Yeah.
It's the 47th Amendment. It's the right to bear phase pistols.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine the debates on that about phasers. Because I can imagine
they never
really
did an episode like that. They did like gun episodes here, well, weapons here and there, but I'm surprised they never did a kind of gun episode. The Federation are taking our guns or some nonsense.
But was it a big deal back then? I don't think it was.
Guns
like it is today. No. I mean,
it's
like,
always
like
been
it is
an
today.
Issue, to be honest. We only have to look at kind of the 90s here in the UK, where there was the Dunblane massacre, and that was it. Guns were gone essentially within a period of time. I think gun crime and gun deaths, I think, especially for those who are victims, it's always been an issue, I think.
My goodness, I could you imagine.
Yeah, just think of it. Was it Columbine? Was that like late 90s? You know, kind of Voyager and Deep Space Nine's on the go at that time, and Next Generation movies. So yeah, I think it's always been an issue.
Yeah, that was April 20th of 1996.
There you go. Yeah, the peak of Star Trek. First Contact's coming out, Voyager, Deep Space Nine. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I actually was in high school. My high school was is on the other side of where Columbine High School is. Columbine High School is in Littleton, Colorado, and where I went to Rangeview High School in Aurora, and so it's only 10 miles or less. And I remember that day because they actually locked down the entire school, and we didn't know what was going on and whatnot. And I had a couple friends there, and for some reason, I got phone calls from them, like, "What's going on?" sort of thing. So, yeah, truly a scary time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, no one can have phasers because, yeah, that wouldn't be good. Or at least have them set on stun. There we go.
There you go.
Everyone has a taser. And of course, we can know when it deals with technology, specifically towards TNG, we got to talk about Bionic Eyes or Geordi's visor.
There you go.
Yeah, I would think that with technology the way it is, that they would be able to correct it, just give them new eyes and stuff like that. But that's just me.
I suppose there was the option there for a long time. You know, first episode of TNG, she's like, "Oh, why don't you just get like the kind of the surgery and everything's like this?" Nah, I kind of like the visor. I mean, that would have been kind of like this gimmick, and then got rid of it straight away.
Hmm. Like they did for the movies.
Yeah, that's
which actually,
yeah. His bionic
eyes were a lot cooler because they could focus in.
Yeah, zoom in.
So yeah, that's definitely a plus side to having that kind of surgery. I guess I would assume that everyone would do that, but probably not. No. Mm-mm. Never mind.
Yeah, I would really like eye technology to advance. I'm dealing with sore vision for my entire life, and as I get older, the worse it gets, and driving at night is terrible. So if I could just put on a visor that would help me see everything, then it would be much, much better.
Well, you could, but I don't know if you drive straight or get home and alive. So, especially with that Las Vegas traffic.
Something to help me tackle the grays would be good. Yeah, there must be something like that in the future.
Or that there could be very, very, very well soon a self-driving car, and you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah, they're definitely coming up with that.
You can turn 30 all over again and get plastered, and then walk right into your car.
Or I can just sit in a driving, like in a car that's just driving me to work, and I can watch Next Generation in the back seat, truly living the dream.
See, if we had transporters, then wouldn't even have to worry about it. Just, I need to go home.
Well, if you're self-conscious about your soul, then you wouldn't you take the old fashioned.
That's true. That's true. Plan B.
Plan B. Because we never see that option. It's always the transporter.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's the shuttle. or getting an android to fly across space with a portable transport. I mean, that's plan B ahead of using the internal transporters on a shuttlecraft as well.
Yeah, you could always do that. Yeah. Yeah. But that would just, I would assume that there wouldn't be like a plasma screen or anything like that on a shuttlecraft, so you can watch your favorite episodes of Star Trek. And you preload them into the actual shuttlecraft. And speaking of shuttlecrafts, that's another thing we could talk about. But yeah, we could save that for another episode, actually. I had an idea about shuttlecrafts. So, all right. Anybody else want to talk about anything else dealing with Star Trek?
So what about technology? Shields? We need shields.
Yes, shields. Very much so.
I always love listening to, I think it was an extra on the Next Gen DVD set, and how they were talking about one of the writers didn't know the difference between shields and deflectors, and they got a talking from Gene Roddenberry that there is a difference. And so I like the shield idea, and definitely would protect the exterior of my vehicle if I had shields. All those flying rocks coming at me, I need shields. Activate my shields. I don't want to pay for another windshield.
So do you want to talk about shields, or do you want to talk about the differences? Because I could talk about the differences.
I'm going to let you guys talk about that. I'm just going to go to sleep. So just wake me up when this episode's over, and I'll say goodbye. All right, come in next time for a cup of Earl Grey. You guys bash on.
No. We won't talk about the difference. Maybe we'll save that for another episode, because I could talk about that for quite a while, but I would need a Star Wars fan in here, like a true hardcore. I actually know a guy that could possibly do that, and Lee could be in there too. But I think that would be fun. Yeah. Definitely. Yes. Shields. Must need shields. Yeah. And I can only imagine that if you had shields on your car, everyone would need shields.
Yes.
I mean, oh my goodness. Could you imagine?
Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be like everyone's in a bubble ball or something like that. In their
own little bubble, yeah.
Yeah. No. But like if they collide with each other, it'll get chaotic because everybody would be jumping around like a damn pinball machine.
Yeah.
We're going to need something on the outside too. Like a...
Yeah, I need my deflector dish. For the grill.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it if insurance premiums goes up and resale value. If you got one scratch, that's it. You lost $10,000. So you can't run in. You can't have any mishaps of like someone running a shopping cart into your car or something like
right.
that. You got to have inactive shields or something like that. Yeah, shields are good.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, I remember hearing about, when I first heard about the, obviously they can't have shields up all the time, because I'm assuming that would waste way too much energy. But I would assume like navigation shields, so if like an asteroid or something like that, or well, maybe not an asteroid, but like something small, like a car size meteor or something like that, wouldn't puncture a hole through the hole and cause great damage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they don't, because I mean there was an episode of Star Trek Continues where a meteor goes right through the hole. So I don't know if you saw that one. No.
No, I've never watched them.
Oh, such great stories! Such great stories. They're about to release one in May. Another episode.
I've been seeing it.
Did you? No, you weren't there with me in Salt Lake City. That's right. Because I was there for their last one. I actually met Vic, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you should come and see and watch this new episode of Star Trek Continues. It's great." And funny enough, that was the episode where the meteor goes right through, and it's actually a space creature, a space-faring creature. So, yeah. Very interesting episode. It was really good. Well, talking about the technology of the next generation isn't the only topic we've been talking about here on the network. Here's a quick look at what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit. Star Trek II had just premiered 2 weeks earlier, right? So everyone's all excited and flush. Oh my God, that's more like it. Those, you know, they were all excited and flush about The Wrath of Khan being out. You know, it was the number one movie. It was incredible. People were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just imagine seeing The Wrath of Khan for the first time, not knowing that it was always going to be the bar forever for every Star Trek movie after that.
Literary Treks.
I'm glad we reread this, because at the time I did read this, it was when the new movie was out. But now that we've had the three movies, as you just mentioned, and I've seen Star Trek 09 about 100 times, I'm very familiar with the movie, and not as much as with the comic now, because I've only read it maybe a couple of times.
Continuing mission.
You know, we were pitching our idea, Don and I, to the folks at Starbase Studios. And I vowed to myself that I wasn't going to walk on the bridge and then go sit immediately in the chair and have a picture taken of myself. However, as soon as I got on the bridge, I sat in the chair and I took a picture of myself. So it was like a kid in a candy store.
The 602 Club.
I think the problem we have, and this is just in general of all the new canon books, these books are not going to succeed unless the author focuses on one or two characters and just focuses on building a character as much as they can. I felt this was more just like you were saying, this is just more story of what's going on and not really about who these people are and why I should care about them.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes streaming services and a direct download link. This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPod, iPad, Kindle, Android, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/Trek.fm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards. For example, $5 a month gets you into our patron zone. You get exclusive content and access to our early release of all of the shows. At the $15 a month, you get to participate in our monthly roundtable discussions. They are so much fun, and that's how I got started on the network. At $25 a month, you get associate producer credits for any podcast you choose. At this time, we would like to thank our current Patreon associate producers, Michael Huter and Justin Ozer. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Another way to help out the network and get cool stuff is to visit Redbubble. At redbubble.com/shop/trekfm, you can find amazing designs for t-shirts, pillows, phone cases, and more. And with each purchase, a portion of the sales goes to Trek FM. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference. You can search that on Facebook, B-A-B-E-L, or you can like the facebook.com/Trek FM page for show updates and other announcements. The network is also on Twitter at Trek FM. If you would like to contact Lee, Richard, or me, Amy, visit trek.fm/contact to send us a subspace message or find us on social media. So, Richard, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, they could find me on Facebook and also at Twitter. I'm sorry. Well, they could find me on the Babel Conference, and also they can find me on Twitter at xransom. Yourself?
I love the Babel Conference, so you can find me there. I am also on Twitter, and I am tweeting what I'm currently watching on my season 2 right now. And I am at Miss Amy Nelson. Lee, how about yourself?
Yeah, you can find me at Star Trek VHS. You can find me at Lee_Nostromo. Don't just love Star Trek, love Alien. And you can find me on the Filibuster podcast talking about nerd and geek culture, and the Glasgow's Green football podcast talking about Celtic, who are going to destroy Rangers next week. So yes, that should be a good chat and discussion.
So join us for another cup of Earl Grey.
Great joy and gratitude.
The sky's the limit.
Today is a good day to die.